We've had a whirlwind of a week. I'm sure everyone here is working and all the things have been warm down here, and glad to be home. You know, we were riding around on the Eastern Shore, and I know many of you think, when you think of Maryland, you think it's a concrete jungle. You think of Baltimore and places like that. But we were riding where the corn tasseled way higher than the vehicle that we were riding in, and it was green and beautiful. And just on back roads, when you come into a field of beans, there weren't many beans because the deers would eat them all up, and there was 20 or 30 of them out there. And some of you guys that try to hunt down here, you know, you just take your pick there. You decide which one you're going to shoot because they're always out there, amen. And so again, you say, man, you'd shoot Bambi, man, give me a chance, amen? Amen. They're good eating. Anyway, so I was about to get off track and everything, so... But my wife will probably, she'll probably think she didn't like that I didn't like this terminology. But at first, so this week we had two different funerals, and I can't help but come with some of that mindset tonight and preach to you tonight just with a mindset of victory, you know, on just two starkly different funerals. One at the beginning of the week was so much sorrow and brokenness and just a sad situation of the youth. And then one of someone who had lived a long life and been faithful in the work of God. And just the stark contrast of seeing both funerals and even just the brokenheartedness for us in two different ways. And so in Psalm 16, I want to just kind of speak to you tonight. I throw a little camp in the middle of it and just kind of preach to you tonight a little bit. And I just, if you need a title tonight, it'd be Hold the Line. Amen. Hold the Line. And I think we live in a day and age. One of the things that a man said to me, one of the preachers that, had heard of me, and he knew some of the family at one of the places. He met me and shook my hand. He said, so you're Barry Parsons. He said, so you're the Bible thumper. Now, I never really heard the term, I've heard of the term Bible thumper, but I've never really heard it in a good context, you know. And he smiled, and I don't think he was trying to offend me. And so my wife heard me repeat it several times, and so she thought I was obviously offended, so she wanted to know the definition of it. And so Siri said that it was a Christian fundamentalist that was an overzealous, evangelical soul winner. Amen. And I said, well, I am a Bible thumper. Amen. And then I kind of looked a little deeper into it, and one of them was, it goes way back, and it's a pastor that stands up and screams and yells about hell, death in the grave, and that Jesus saves. I said, I'm a Bible thumper, And so I learned something this week, a brand new term. I would appreciate if Richard didn't call me Bible thumper all the time now. I just wanted to say that from the pulpit so you could keep hold of that. But in Psalms chapter 16, I just want you to see some of the things here. My grandfather passed away, and he was if there was anything you could put in the church, you could put faithful before it. He was a faithful head usher, took care of a lot for years. He was a faithful husband, a faithful father, a faithful grandfather. He was a faithful soul winner. He was just anything he put his hands to do. When he retired from bricklaying, he cut grass around the church. He just wanted to do something around the church, and he was faithful at grass cut until he couldn't do that anymore. And then, one of the things, our pastor that pastored there at our home church for 30 years, one of his memories, they didn't have blacktop, they got old shell driveways and stuff up there. And I don't know if you ever, how many of you know what I'm talking about, clamshell driveway? And, it stinks for 3 months after they do it, amen, praise God, amen. That's science. I can't teach you all that. All of you don't know what that is. I'm just telling you, that's what we have on the Eastern Shore. And so our preacher was spreading that stuff out there, getting the driveway right, and he backed in out in front of our church. We have a carport and two brick pit columns, and at two different times, he got both of them, and at different times, and knocked them down. And in their 80s, my grandparents, my grandmother mixed the mud, and my grandfather laid all the block back again, and walked up there and watched them climb the scaffold, because it was something that needed done and they could do it. Amen. And just faithful. And so I turned to this passage when I spoke at his funeral, and I just want to try to encourage us today, not all of us, but if there's anything I want said of me at my funeral is that I was faithful. There's some things here David's writing, and I think David says some things that are, I think, profound here, but To begin in verse number 5, he says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." One of the things I could say, you may not have had a grandfather or family tradition of being in church, and I can go back with me, and it's not about me tonight, but you can search your own heart and your own life, and you may not have miles or years or family that you can mark down and say, man, they took us to a good Baptist church, and they took us to a place of good doctrine, and they took us, kept us in the Bible, and we had family devotions. You may not be able to check all those boxes, but you found yourself and you've joined the family of God where you can come and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, and come and be a part of the family of God. And this place, this group of believers has a goodly heritage. There are folks, and I've said it, I say it often, and when I'm around someone who's been faithful, I often see from being in Bible college here and seeing some of the pillars of this church and the faith, and they're not here with us anymore. And they held the line a long time, and when there was something needed to be done, they stepped up and said, "I'll do it. I'll be there. I'll take care of that. Preacher, you don't touch that. I'll take care of it." And folks, we don't need less of that. In our day and age, we need more of that. We often think sometimes that we're too busy to lay hands to the work of God, when these are the things that will turn out eternal results. Something as simple as we don't make much, and you say, well, you said over and over again, given to camp in that little envelope. You don't know what God's going to do with that. You have no idea, and until you get on heaven's shores, and we can talk about it at a funeral. So many people that knew my grandfather and watched me grow up in that church were able to come back and be in that place and talk about. Everybody has a perspective. You know how that works? You know, while I was here at Bible college, I saw things. Ricardo was here at Bible college. He had a perspective of things, and everybody had a different area of ministry they worked in and saw the ministry from a different perspective. And it was so interesting for me to listen to folks talk about him and his faithfulness, the things that they remembered about him and the things that he was faithful at, how he was humble and he had joy. And all the things that we ought to have when people come into the church, we ought to be welcoming of them. We ought to see them walk in the back door and folks with a smile welcome folks from the outside in. Why? Because it's a family. And I don't know about you, but I wasn't always a part of the family of God. It took a day where I walked in the back door and people welcomed me. And I heard the preaching. A Bible thumper got up and thumped the Bible and told me I was on my way to hell if I didn't accept Jesus as my Savior. And he was the only way, the only truth, the only life that I could ever trust in. And I remember that night, I had heard that preached a lot. But that night I realized that, you know, I may go to hell. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I mean, you may not be as hard-headed as I was, but it took me a while to grip that, you know, it ain't about works. It ain't about baptism. It isn't about my family. It isn't about all these things. It's about my personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I walked an old-fashioned altar and decided that night that I was going to, I wanted Jesus more than anything else. And I needed salvation and a personal relationship with him. The scripture here tonight talks about this. It talks about him being the portion of mine inheritance. I can say this. I don't believe my grandfather was rich. I don't think I'll be getting a couple million-dollar check or anything in the mail. But he was rich in faith. And what he did leave me, he left me, according to the scripture, look at the next verse. He says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." The line there, that line means cord. It actually is, if I could think about it that way, I'm thinking, I still, camp is on my brain, so I'm thinking tug of war. Amen. I happen to get a rope. I got to get this rope, all right? I'm gonna be just a minute, all right? You make sure you got your Bibles open, all right? All right. Has he got that rope? Come on, stretch it out right here in front of the pulpit. Now, tug of war is something we do at camp. This isn't our tug of war rope, so we don't have to make sure it gets back. all right? But don't try to take it with you. This is now our snatch strap. That's when you get stuck at camp, we pull you out. All right, but we're going to use it for a pull rope. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever, the cord here. Thank you, boy. You can go back to security now. Don't you all feel safer because BJ's working over there? Love you. Amen. So, pulling on the rope. Now, I need some people to help me with this tonight. The lines are falling in pleasant places. I don't know about you, but when I've been a youth pastor before, and when they get good camp games, not only have teenagers, but they have the youth pastor involved too. Amen. And it's not a good game unless somebody could go to the hospital. It's just the way it is. All right. Now, I probably shouldn't preach that right before your kids go to camp. But it's just how it is. All right. There's truth in all that. All right. So, but you know how it is. And one of the things I said in the sermon for my grandfather, I felt like as far as in my family, you know, what we lost was an anchor man. We lost the one that was the anchor of our family. You know, every church has anchor men. And the Bible, it says lines. It didn't just talk about one cord, but I mean, we got one cord for illustration tonight. So I'm going to ask a couple guys, Brother Jeremiah, Austin, all right, you guys come. All right. How about you, my brother, going down there? All right. This is the world, the flesh, and the devil. You can decide which one they are. All right. They got that side of the rope. Now, Isaac, if you want to be a scorner, you can get on that side too. All right. Thank you for being a scorner, my brother. It's the only time you'll ever hear it. All right. Get up here in front of them. Scorners don't go back there behind the world, the flesh, and the devil. Thank you for getting up front. But again, if I was going to, I mean, when I thought about, you know, we're pulling against this all the time. Every believer, the church, throughout the ages, when we're talking about when the church drifts in its standards, in its stand for the Lord, in its preaching, in its doctrine, anytime it drifts, it's because there's a constant pull or a tug towards the world, the flesh, and the devil. On every ministry, on every family, on every life. And it's good for us to have a godly family. And again, for me, it was my grandfather, somebody I could look to that lived the Christian life and was faithful. You know, you don't have to have somebody that's a blood relative to be that person for you. You know, you can be in the house of God and the family of God. You can say, that's my grandfather. I'm going to take you as my grandfather. You're going to be my person that holds the anchor of my hope, my faith, my group. For us, I'm going to just say in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about the anchor of our faith. And that's the Lord Jesus. Our anchor is sure, folks. If we set our anchor. Now, it talks about it's fallen to me in pleasant places. Now, I've done a lot of pulling as a youth pastor, and I've had to pull against groups like that, and I take a bunch of, you know, little guys. That's not good. You know, they size you up and you get on there, but I ain't got no quit in me. I mean, it's a tug of war. I'm going to pull. And so, you know how it is. I mean, how do you know, when you get into this, I'm going to have to put this in my pocket. If this falls, it's not my fault. The sound room guy should have got me a wireless mic by now. Anyway, amen. Calling you out up there. I can't see you. I'm not smiling. All right. So, I mean, you know, so when you set your anchor man, he ties himself up in it. I go even farther. I mean, I really tie myself up in it. Right? Why? Because I'm committed. My life is tied up in this. This is everything to me. Not just some game, but this is the Christian life. The world, the flesh, and the devil aren't going to give me an inch. They're going to pull as hard as they can, as hard as they can, as long as they can, and they've got supernatural power, and the only way I'm going to stand is if I take some supernatural power on my side. That I don't just pull in my own strength, but I pull in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I'm thankful that with my grandfather, I thought about my footing. You know, I've had a terrible, the worst pull I ever had, boy. All the kids fell down. We were on the worst side of the field. They had a rocky side they could get a good grip, and my side was muddy. I knew it was unfair to start with. But you know, there's a lot of folks that get in this tug of war, and where the line was handed with them, the lines were muddy. They didn't have, I mean, they had a Bible, but they didn't know it was the perfect word of God. They weren't always taught that
that they ought to be in church, that there's some things in the book that we need to hold to. There's a place that we ought to die for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That there's some things we can't give on, that we don't bend and we don't break on, that we just stand. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I mean, when we're in this pool, I think about this, you know, I mean, you say, well, what do you want to do? I mean, I want to recruit people, but I mean, listen, I'm just going to tell you on my side, I want the family of God. Now, I'm not going to have every one of you come down here, but you know, if every one of us, these are some big guys, and they could probably outpull me, maybe. But if every one of us come and got a hold of this rope together, they couldn't outpull us. They couldn't do anything with us, especially not spirit-filled, God-honoring Bible thumpers. Amen. That would pull with everything they had. You guys can sit down. I want you to see this tonight. Look at the scripture with me. These lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I've got a goodly heritage, not just in my goodly heritage, but what God gave me in where I'm at. I'm a hard-headed man. I know that. My wife is about to say amen at any moment. I'm going to go back to this, guys. But I mean, when I think about that, you know, if I was to be born into something and I wasn't witnessed to by somebody that believed the Word of God, I could have heard some false teaching and spent the majority of my life in some false thing. But instead, the lines fell to me in pleasant places. I heard the good word of God, and it fell on good soil of my heart, and it sprang up. And listen, I want to produce fruit because I've been passed on something that is, I mean, pleasant. Something that is, I mean, it's heaven and earth. It's everything to me. It says the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Then what am I supposed to do when I realize, when I finally come to the place where I realize this is the pull of my life? That it's everything to me. That I need to set in like an anchor and hold on and encourage others to grip the rope and pull with me, because my family, this matters. This is my church. This is my family. This is the future of our teenagers and young people in our church. Whether I stay on the rope or whether I falter or whether I take a, you know, sabbatical. Look, I want you to see here. He says, I will bless the Lord. Do you know the greatest witness of our lives is our testimony? It's just saying, I thank God for what He did for me. Amen. You know, you can go to the door and try to 1, 2, 3 people into getting saved, but usually when you go up and say, listen, I need to tell you something that somebody stopped by my house and told me. I need to give you something. This is important. It meant everything to me. And they told me, listen, I was lost and on my way to hell, but somebody stopped by and told me how I could know that I was on my way to heaven. Can I share that with you? Listen, it's a whole different ball game when it's something, when it's a blessing to you, when it's personal to you, when it's life or death to you, when it's everything to you. It makes a difference when you witness to someone else. I will bless the Lord hath given me counsel. I'm thankful for a book that has given me counsel of how to raise my family and where I should set my feet and when I should pull and when I should pray. I'm so glad for the counsel of God. Do you know, sometimes we think about we don't have any counsel because we don't seek God's counsel. You know, you got a pastor. You've had a pastor as a church. You know, a lot of times I notice some people will come and ask the pastor some things, and there's others that won't ask because they know the answer. They don't want to counsel because they know the counsel is not going to come from a man but from the Word of God. Not somebody's opinion. You know, oftentimes most young people that go astray or want to lay down the rope, they don't come and ask somebody. That's a Bible thumper. Because they know they're going to go to the Word of God. They know the answer is going to be fundamentally founded in the Word of God. It's going to be principles and doctrine. I remember as I was in college and, you know, I had my niece in my home, and Brittany used to, she'd say, Uncle Barry, what do you think about this? And I chapter and verse her. Because it don't matter what I think.
if God's got a chapter and verse on it, it doesn't matter where I draw the line. God draw the line here. It doesn't matter what I think anymore. If I've got chapter and verse on it, then I have the counsel of God. And even for this, it says that for me, I want to take the counsel of God and let it restrain me. The verse continues, it says, my reins also instruct me in the night season. That means as a believer, when I'm laying there and maybe I'm thinking about letting up, maybe I'm thinking about I'm wore out, it's time for somebody else to take this bus route. It's time for somebody else to take this Sunday school. It's maybe time for somebody else to do. When I'm thinking bad thoughts, I've told you before, I call it stinking thinking. But deep down inside of me, the counsel of God's well up, and I feel the Holy Spirit tug on the reins. When I'm yielded to Him, I feel Him take the reins of my life and begin to go, whoa, what are you doing? What are you thinking? You're going in the wrong direction. This is the wrong decision. This may make you happy for a season. Do you know in Hebrews chapter 11 where we were this morning, you go to verse 25 and it talks about Moses, whom had probably one of the largest life decisions on where he was going to spend his life, whether he was going to live in the pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt. And listen, that would have been the high life. If anybody was tempted and to be on top of it all, on top of the world and to have it all and to experience it all, Moses had that opportunity. But he said, no, I'm going to grab the line. I'm going to set my feet and pull. I'm going to give my life to this. You say, well, he was a murderer. Yeah, I've known a lot of people that started out, they'd made a good decision but tried to do it the wrong way because they didn't follow the counsel of God. Moses made a great decision, but that wasn't when he really surrendered to God's will or God's counsel. But when he got that straight, boy, he was something for the Lord, wasn't he? Hey, look at the scripture with me tonight. He goes on, he says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I don't know about you, but I mean, I have set the Lord always before me. You know, when we pray always, you know, we ought to always have the Lord in mind. You know, there was this whole what would Jesus do movement for a long time. And I don't really, you know, it's not something I think is the best thing, but I do think the Lord ought to always be in our hearts and our minds. When we meditate upon His Word, it's hard to get outside of His counsel or forget who He is and what He's doing in our life. It's sad that we live in a day where young people have grown up in a culture outside of the King James Bible, where rather than thou shalt not, they hear, well, maybe you shouldn't. Or, you know, it could be bad if you do that. You say, that's not what I do. Listen, that is the kind of Bible you hand over to your children. When you water down God's word. And instead of having thou shalt not, say, well, why do I want my kids to be bound by... Listen, you're not bound by the Ten Commandments. Those are protecting things for you. Amen. Amen. That is a moral code that keeps somebody from kicking the door down and killing you. Right. Not something that binds you up. Well, I feel like killing so-and-so. Listen, you'll get over it if you just let it go for a minute. Say, brother, I don't... Is it that big a deal? The Word of God, you always, I mean, beating this soapbox of the Word of God, it's only the perfect Word of God. It's only the thing that you will stand before the righteous judge and be judged by. It is the counsel that you have on earth, and you'll stand before the righteous judge, and it won't be your thoughts or how you felt or some watered down perversion of His Word, but the very words of God that will judge every one of us. Not for our sin. Help us now. The world, the flesh, and the devil want us to fear God, not the way He wants to be reverenced. Of reverence is always putting Him before my face, always having Him before my eyes, because He is what I want to be. He is the ensample or the example of the believer that has come and lived and died and rose again and is coming back for me. He's the one I want to set my eyes on and keep as my focus, that I can live and walk and keep His counsels, because one day He's the one I'm looking to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, from. Don't you think when you're looking for something, those guys that run NASCAR, you don't think that they don't don't put the cup up there and they look at the cup and they keep it as their focus. This is what I'm racing for. This is what I want to attain. This is why I'm going to stay up and wrench. This is why I'm going to stay up and race. This is why I'm going to run another hot lap just to see if the car is right. You say, really? Yeah. What do you think guys do when football time comes? You think they all start, you know what? What we'd like to do is get just above last place. No. Basketball teams. We see all these guys, all of them moving from one team to another because it's important to them to win the prize. They want to win it all. And if in an earthly sense we can see worldly people wanting to try to have that for a season, why wouldn't we want to have that as believers for eternity? Why wouldn't we set our mind and our heart and our lives and our families on well done, my good and faithful servant? Why wouldn't we pick up the line and pull? You say, well, it's hard to pull, preacher. It gets tiring. Yeah, it does. I have set the Lord always before me. You know, I noticed when I set the right thing in my mind and in my heart, it makes the work a lot easier. It's a lot easier to stay at camp when I start thinking about what God's going to do at camp. It's a lot easier to make it through the heat and the long days and all the things when I realize this is going to matter in eternity. Listen, I've told you over and over again, I've worked long days when it didn't matter for much. When all I was doing was spraying crops and working in the field or working plumbing, I've worked long days on those things. Why wouldn't I give the same effort? Why wouldn't I give more effort to pull in the line, in the direction? See, I think this, he says, you know, in verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. You know, that is the idea of the believer. Listen, we've planted some folks that were dear to us this week, but we put them in the ground because we expect a glorious resurrection of the dead. We, according to the scripture, reckon they sleep and we pull while they rest. Folks, I tell you, he goes, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. David is writing this under the inspiration of God, and he's saying, I'm going to rest in hope, and continues, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. See, David realized that the Holy One of Israel was coming, and we don't pass into paradise like David did. David passed into a place that was in the heart of the earth, visible picture of hell. Could see the rich man in hell, could see them afar off, but he wasn't going to leave him there. Even though that was paradise and the flames of hell were not licking those people that were set aside in paradise that died in faith, one day their faith was made whole. And Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary, rose again and took captivity captive, went to heaven to a tabernacle not made with hands, walked in and laid the blood that would atone every person's sin. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, when I read that, when I preach that, it's worth holding the line a little bit longer. When I realize I have a Savior who entered heaven and made blood atonement for my sins and one day is coming to get me from this place, then I'll hold the line until he comes. He goes on, you young people, what do we do, preacher? It's going to be a few days before we realize our goodly heritage. You're an old man. Half your hair is gone. Three quarters of your hair is gone. Whatever you feel like is the truth. Hey, trying to wake you up tonight. A goodly heritage. Listen, you don't have to be old like me to figure out you got a goodly heritage. You know, most of us, we realize things when we reckon them important. You know, you didn't have to realize basketball was important. Usually you just looked around and found somebody else it was important to, and it became important to you. Racing wasn't important until, to me, I didn't care about cars turning the same direction over and over again until my dad was rooting for somebody and wanted him to win, and it became important to me. Football, it never important to somebody else until you see somebody it's important to. We could go through the list of things, but folks, listen, young people, you grew up in a church. You think everybody that comes here is wrong? You think this book is wrong? You think this line is not worth pulling on? You think, well, I'll just take a break and come back to it. After I've gone out and sowed my wild oats, let me tell you this, you'll never be able to pull like you could have pulled if you just took hold of the rope and stayed. You'll always be welcome back, and we'll always make a place for you. But listen, why don't you just stay and pull? Why don't you do this? In verse 11, after he's talked about how God is not going to leave his soul in hell, that how neither will he suffer thine holy one to see corruption, and spoke specifically about Jesus entering the heart of the earth. Verse 11, thou wilt show me the paths of life. Do you know what? Most young people have set a path of life for themselves that they think will make them most happy. Wouldn't it be neat if you got a hold of the line and said, God, would you give me the happiest life? You made me. You're the creator God. You know my interests and my loves. You know everything that I want to be. God, would you take my life and make it, give me the best path of life that I could possibly have? Wouldn't that be something if we had young people tonight that made that decision? How about this week at camp that made that decision? You know what? I'm going to grab the rope. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil are over there taunting you. And you think that they're having the big time of their life, but I can tell you where their end will be. They're going to end up in the lake of fire. That right there is nothing but fun for a season. If you could see the end of a thing, and some of you have seen it, unhappy marriages, you think, oh, everybody has that. No, that's not true. Boy, you do it right, and you can see the path of life. You can see what marriage ought to be. Marriage is a picture that ought to picture the love of Christ for his church. And a sacrificial man that continues to give himself over and over and over again for his family. Hey, folks, look at this. I love this. He says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Well, preacher, so if I surrender to his path of life, yeah, he'll do something with you. Something greater than you ever thought you could do. Do you know if you say, well, where? I'm not really happy. I surrendered a while ago, but I'm not happy. Well, are you spending each day in his presence? You say you can surrender on this end of the line. I'm going to hold this line for the rest of my life. And then lay it down and walk over here and hang out with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yeah. And you go, and you wonder why you're miserable. Because you're on the wrong side of the rope. Yeah. You're pulling in the wrong direction. And some of us even get out and we're just indifferent. Let me see who's going to win. I don't know, them are pretty big guys over here. I don't know if they got enough to pull that in. Hey, why don't you just get back on the rope? Why don't you walk in the presence of God? You know that this devotional, oh, what is this, preacher? It's all an advertisement. No, this is desperately trying to get people to get in the presence of God on a daily basis. You know, the presence of God, the Bible says here, is fullness of joy. Do you know you can have joys in this life, but you can have the fullness of joy in the Christian life as well. The fullness of joy is living in his presence. You know, John R. Rice always talked about asking is receiving. And he talked about getting God on the phone in the morning and never hanging up. That's what praying always is. Now that we have cell phones, it's not the same as thinking about that long cord. But I still grew up in that day, amen? And I want to stay on the line. I want to be in his presence. I want to stay connected in his presence on a daily basis. Do you know what that helps me with? Say, preacher, how's that work in your life? I'll tell you how it works in my life. When I'm going through each day and I'm pulling for the Lord, when, you know, you've been at camp, right? You know how it is when, like, somebody you're pulling and then somebody else that's on the line with you puts their foot under your foot. You know, and you stumble a little bit. You know, that happens to every Christian in this room. So it's not always, I feel like it's my fault. I've tried to do everything I could today to walk with God. I've done everything, but man, there was a rock here, or there was unsure footing, or somebody else tripped me up today. You know, the blessing of my life is on a daily basis. I don't have to stop everything and run to some corner of the tabernacle at camp or run to some corner of the church or run to my office to pray and get a hold of God. I can keep pulling. And when I stumble, I'll say, God, help me. God, hold me up. I'm pulling with everything I can. You help me with the rest. God, I've stumbled. Get me back on my feet. Give me sure footing again. God, help me to pull the way you want me to pull, in the direction you want me to pull. Then you say, well, preacher, that's just for preachers. No, that's not just for preachers. You know what happens when you have him in your presence? There's fullness of joy. I don't forget what I'm there for. I don't forget what I'm pulling for. I don't forget why I don't want to stumble to start with. Too many times in this life we get to a place. He say, at thy right hand, at the end, he says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 made a decision. And for every Christian, these three things, every young person, middle-aged person, and old person could decide today that they're going to follow the path that God wants for them in their life. They could decide to be in his presence so that they could have fullness of joy. And even this last thing here, do you know that we could realize that the pleasures of sin for a season are never going to amount, could never balance out with pleasures forevermore? Do you know the Christian life and pulling the rope is about eternity? It's not about the nasty now and now. Although, I can tell you this, people on this end of the rope, although when we're looking that way, sometimes it looks like the people on the other side of the fence got it greener, that they got better footing, that they got better financing, that they got bigger guys. This side of the rope's the rope I want to pull on. Because the invisible God that can do anything and everything, one day is going to send his son for the people on this end of the rope. And I've seen, have you ever seen when there's equal forces balanced out pulling and somebody's giving this way and giving that way and then everybody on this side of the rope decides to let go? What happens to the world? The flesh and the devil on this other side, they all fall backwards. They fall apart. And everybody laughs at them. It happens at camp every time we do this pulling. You know, when I look forward to the rapture, I realize that when we get raptured out, it's not just going to be heaven for us. This world's going to fall into chaos. It's going to fall apart. Its whole job is to give opposition to God. Its whole purpose is to stop his plan. Its whole job is to ruin the lives of God's people and to make them wish that they were over here and to steal their joy. But one day that whole thing is going to go kaput. And we're going to be snatched out of this place. And listen, that is when this group over here, they're going to think they've won. They're going to celebrate for a little while. But then celebrating will be over. They'll realize that they chose the wrong side, and they'll realize it for eternity. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're not on Jesus' side of the rope, you're not saved, you never accepted him as your Savior, listen, tonight you need to accept him as your personal Savior. Realize that his death, burial, and resurrection is what it took to save your never-dying soul, to purchase you back into himself. He died on Calvary not just because he had to die. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He took my sins upon himself and your sin upon himself that he might pay your way and pay my way to heaven. Because all I deserve and all you deserve is a devil's hell. But I'm glad for the mercy and grace of a holy God who came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid for my sin debt. Listen, if you've never accepted that, then accept it tonight. Let today be the day of salvation for you. And if you're a believer and you're on the rope, then stay on the rope. Make a decision tonight to pull harder than you ever have. Make a decision tonight to set your feet again and get a good grip. Maybe somebody in here like me that's seen other people go on and we've lost some anchor men in our church, decide to be. I'm going to be one of those men that anchor the rope. I'm going to be one of those men that set the rope around me. This is going to be my everything. This is my eternity. This is my family's everything. Hey, if you're here and you say, man, I got saved, but I'm not really pulled with the church, then decide to be here and pull with it. You say, preacher, how do I pull with the church? Man, you show up when the doors are open. You go soul winning. Say, I don't know what soul winning is. We'll show you. The best way I learned was going with other people that went soul winning. Say, preacher, how do I get and pull on the rope? Man, stand with the King James Bible. Stand for the doctrines of the Word of God. Stand with your preacher. Stand with your men of your church and your families and stand and stand and stand and pull until Jesus comes. Just decide, I'm going to be faithful till Jesus comes. Tonight, let's decide to hold the line. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Whatever God's asked you to do tonight, why don't you step out and come? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know for sure if you died right now that you'd enter heaven's gates, you've never asked Him to save you, would you meet me in the front? I'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, as Brother Bert sings tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender
you to come tonight. If you're here and you're not saved, this is an old-fashioned invitation. It's an invitation for you to come, step out from where you are. While folks have their heads bowed and their eyes closed, it's a chance for you to step out and come down and receive Jesus as your Savior. I know it may seem scary, and I've never done anything like that before. Preacher, listen, if you're not saved, it matters to you. It matters everything. It matters for eternity. Step out and come, and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're here and you need to be baptized, you've been saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized, come. We'd love to. The baptismal pool is warm and ready for you tonight. Maybe you're here and you've been saved, you've been baptized, but you never joined this local church. Step out and do that tonight. Whatever God wants you to do, you do that, as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender.
I hope you did whatever God asked you to do tonight. I know several came and prayed tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you were scared to walk to the front and you really didn't know what you were supposed to do, would you just see me right after the service? I'd be glad to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. It's big time. It's the most important thing. It's the reason we gathered together this evening is for folks to be saved. We want you to do that. We have a meeting right after the service now, so if you're going to do anything for camp, all right, and if you did, except for baby watching, if you're holding babies or you're baby watching, you need to go to the back and sign up. But if you're going to be at camp for a counselor, all those different things, if you say, I'm not sure I'm supposed to go to that meeting, you're probably supposed to be in the meeting, all right? All right, so we're going to close out in prayer, and then right afterwards we'll head over to the fellowship hall. Brother Congdon, would you pray for us tonight? Close us out, my brother.
Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the preaching tonight. We thank You for the drawing us into focus on the importance of with the illustration tonight with the rope and, Father, just the tug of the world. And